Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me here on KWAI 1080 AM on Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 AM. We will discuss local and national government issues, environmental issues, and some lighthearted subjects. So please join me on Sunday at 8 AM to 9 AM here on KWAI.
Me. I can't do it all by myself. You got to help me, baby. I can't do it all by myself. You know, if you don't help me, darling, I'll have to find myself somebody else. I may have to wash it. May have to sew. I may have to cook. I might mop the floor, but you help me, baby. You know if you don't help me, darling, I'll find myself somebody else.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hopefully we have a pretty good day here, and looking out at that beautiful rain, absolutely stunning. I'm looking out. I'm going to have to post some pictures on the website one day showing you the view here, looking out over the Poly or the mountain. It is stunning. Got white terns flying around, egrets flying around, the colorful trees. Flower. If they didn't call it Hawaii, I would think I could say I died and gone to heaven. But I'll hold off. Some may argue with that. But anyway, this morning I'm fortunate to have a gentleman who want to share and give us some insight. And I'm always interested in the various issues, whether it's gambling, illegal gambling, legal gambling. Anything regarding social or cultural, any debate. And I'm also lucky enough to have Pokalanui, who has Potpourri, Hawaiian Potpourri Show, prior to me here. He's going to stay in, and he is actually represented as an attorney, some of the gamecock fighters and what have you. And that's what this subject is going to be about today, gamecock. The fighting of gamecocks, the social issues, the social concern, and some history. So now, hold on to your seats and your emotions, and feel free to call in 524-1080. And anything goes, except for you know, I'm with you when it comes to caring, but I also don't want to be insulting. So any comments or questions you have, 524-1080, and we'll have this posted later at carol@carolcox.com, carolcox.com. So this is not a national talk show. We don't scream, holler, yell, and insult people. So state your opinion and your objections, and it'll be heard and welcome. So good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for joining me, and let's get started. The what is gamecock fighting, and for you, how did you get involved in it? Give us a little history, if you would.
Well, I'm a sixth generation activist with Gamefall. I've admired him from a very young age. Mm-hmm. When they brought me home from the hospital, there was already Gamefall in our yard. Mm-hmm. And as a young man, I helped my dad feed him, and, you know, help them exercise and what have you. You invite him here, Carol. Basically, I'm here to try to educate and have people understand mm-hmm. the nature of the animal itself. Mm-hmm. There's a misunderstanding, and a lot of people misconstrue the Gamefowl and those that participate or raise them. Mm-hmm. They think that we actually train these animals, which we don't. Mm-hmm. It's a natural instinct. It's a natural ability mm-hmm. that the Gamefowl have. There are special strain of birds originating from England. The American Gamefowl, first of all, derived from old Irish and English strains that were brought to the United States. Mm-hmm. There's a over the years, hundreds of years, they took the best of the best fighting ability, mm-hmm. gameness, stamina, speed, and they just kept blending, inbreeding, crossbreeding, line breeding, mm-hmm. so they could get the best of the best. Mm-hmm. They took Gamefowl that had a history and hopefully had a future in the mm-hmm. game of cockfighting. Is there any particular questions you would like to know about the Gamefowl?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay.
So, when we take game chicken or gamecock fighting, here in, you're here with me, you grew up in another place outside of Hawaii.
I lived in the plantation on the windward side of the island, an old sugarcane plantation.
I see, and that's where you originally got exposed to and was
It was practiced weekends. As a young man, I used to climb the fence and watch the fowl go at it.
I see.
And it was an admiration. Some say it would be a passion, others say it would be a fixation, but I just admired their beauty, their mm-hmm. courage.
Mm-hmm. The fighting.
The fighting. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's nothing that we as individuals do to want them to make them to fight.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that even though you don't do anything to make them fight, bringing the together, I think that's where most people get the, it's okay, maybe their natural instinct is to fight as males, let's say, but what about bringing them together? And putting them in such close proximity where they would be.
At a very young age, the males, mm-hmm. From personal experiences, and if there's anyone else who has actually raised Gamefowl, mm-hmm. they will attest to the fact that at a very young age, penned with their mother, the males at two and a half months of age, will try to establish a pecking order. Mm-hmm. They will start fighting, and they will not back down. And the mother will just stand there. The mother hen will stand there and just let them beat themselves to death without mm-hmm. separating them. Mm-hmm. It's in the nature.
Yeah. I grew up on in a rural area and farm situation and setting for a while, and you could actually walk out on the lawn and we'd have roosters and we'd have chickens. And they would grow, some of them would grow in, you know, the barnyard ruler, right? And they would even attack the children, attack visitors, and jump up and spur. I mean, it would just as a natural, they didn't want you in their territory. And it would be a male chicken. Just, I mean, I've gotten many a punctures from the spurs, and they'll fight anybody, it seems. But I guess the thing is, though, game fighting, you know, the natural instinct is one thing, but we're taking it to a different level, and I guess that's what we'll also be talking about. And like some people say, it's cultural, and others say it's not cultural. You know, the argument is that, and how do you weigh in on that? Any response?
Well, some refer to it as culture. I like to refer to it, like I said, as my heritage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sixth generation. I've been involved with the birds, game farm, and I'm the sixth generation of my family mm-hmm. that has been involved in it. My son and my grandsons mm-hmm. are also involved. So I've got sixth and seventh generation mm-hmm. members of my family right. that are involved with game farm.
Mm-hmm. So, Polka, speaking of culture and the various issues along, and you've had some dealings in representing people, and how does that play out? And one of the things, as you and I spoken about earlier, is that what becomes cruelty? Because I have to say I'm against cruelty to anything.
Sure.
But on the other hand, I also have to slap myself occasionally and say, well, while we're pounding the table over here about cockfighting and saying stop it, stop it, stop it. Some of those people that are out advocating stopping it, and I personally would like to see, because you gave me some tapes and I was watching them. I couldn't get through the first fight. It was enough for me. I mean, but I do know the people that are strongly opposing it. Their family members on every Christmas morning get up and buy a new gun and don on the camouflage and go out and hunt as a cultural practice or a family tradition.
Yeah, tradition.
And there are guys that goes out, who's that with eBay, was it? Or someone that went over and shot a elephant here recently. So what is cruelty? Yeah. You being the legal minded, what is this?
To begin with, because already your conversation has covered so many different areas, let's talk about the nature of the cock.
Mm-hmm.
Or the chicken that fights. Not all chickens have that same nature. These
right.
are especially a special breed mm-hmm. or a number of breeds of chickens. And when they fight, this for a number of reasons. One, because their nature calls for the males to mm-hmm. fight with one another. It's found in the nature of them. On the other hand, you will have animals that will fight for protective purposes, such
right.
as when a young man or a child mm-hmm. rushes up to the chicks. And they will be attacked, and
right.
we have experienced a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's out of a different nature.
Right.
But the nature of chickens fighting among mm-hmm. themselves for certain breeds, I'm more familiar with the Cuban breed,
mm-hmm.
having been raised in the Waianae area. We have them all over the place, and oftentimes we have kids running into my yards trying to catch the chickens. So it's not something unusual for us. The thing is, though, that the chickens themselves do not grow a metal spur.
Right.
You know, they are placed by the people who raise these chickens. They cut off the natural spur,
mm-hmm.
and then they hook on a gaff that is very sharp, that is very dangerous, and that is illegal to even possess.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bringing of the two chickens together, now that is not natural
right.
for the chickens. That is assisted by human beings. So to what extent
yeah, exactly.
do you have that assistance? What I am particularly concerned about is the racist cultural approach
mm-hmm.
to invalidating or making illegal cruelty to animals for chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But when we have, let's say, fishing tournaments,
mm-hmm.
and when you have people with these big boats and they hook on to the the
mahi,
what is
mahi,
that?
Ahi,
yeah. And they have the fish swallow that that barb, and then they pull the guts out and everything that can come out, so that they can pull the fish out of the water, and then they just weigh it. And oftentimes, it's not because they need to eat the fish,
right?
But it's a measure of who got the biggest fish. Now, is that not cruelty to animals just as well? And yet we celebrate it. Boxing has been celebrated as well. And you have many of these hunting have been celebrated and not viewing it from the cruelty to animal aspect. But when it comes to the Filipinos, when it comes to the Japanese, when it comes to the Hawaiians, when it comes to people from our plantation background, suddenly, they are engaged in cruelty to animals. So this variation of what justice is all about, what cruelty is all about, that really ticks me off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we, you know, again, cruelty, and I can say the three of us sitting here wouldn't accept or agree to it. I personally would never. But we have government agencies and state agencies, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, they regulate the killing and hunting and the maiming of animals. Quote, conservation of the natural resources, when in fact a large percentage of the animals that are being hunted here, like taking the chickens and putting them in close confinement to fight, they're bringing and have imported pheasants, Franklins, chuckers, and release them, and the wild hog, and the goats, and the axis deer for the purpose of hunting. Both have something in common, a great many of them, the fishing tournaments. What does a fishing tournament have in common with the chicken fight?
There's gambling, very much.
A large purse.
Well.
A large purse, you know, and so I'm trying to strike a balance in the show, because I really want to talk about everything, and as you've agreed, we would, and that's what it is. And someone's saying, "Well, I can't believe he can't ask that." And say, no, I want to bring light to a subject. I don't want the racist view. I don't. I want to just talk about it. I want to know. I want people to understand that if you think it's wrong, let's. And you've seen, you've shown me the books, and we'll talk about the various books where the rules now. Causing this thing to go underground, and we'll talk about that, this activity.
But before we get to that, let me strike on the point of culture and heritage. That excuse I don't buy. You know, the fact that for generations we have had people involved in one practice or another practice does not legitimize the continuation of that practice. Slavery can be argued as, well, this is just cultural.
You know, and cheap labor and good work.
So that one I cannot buy. Yeah. Smoking is not cultural. Right. Drinking is not cultural. And the fact that we have been involved in cruelty to animals is not cultural. It may be historical. It may be practiced in family generations. But every generation needs to review these practices and to test whether or not it should continue, even though earlier generations have practiced it. That's my view on that.
Well, for the callers that have called in, if you are patient and want to participate, just hold on. I mean, if you don't have the time, then you can call back. But we're just not going to go and interrupt. If a person's in mid-sentence, we're not going to interrupt the thought. So please feel free to call back and voice your opinion or questions if you have any. 524-1080.
Yeah, I'd like to interject something here. We're talking about culture. We're talking about heritage. I come from a Paniolo family, you might say. I participated in rodeos as a young man. I did timed events, which is referred to today as steer roping or calf roping. I've also ridden rough stock, bulls, bareback, and saddle bronc. Okay. Now, this is all supposed to be part of the American way of life.
Right.
Now, people may view it as, oh, part of our culture, part of our heritage. But I invite them to watch the Professional Bull Riders Association when they have the PBR rodeos or the National Final rodeos. It's usually aired on ESPN. Watch what they refer to as a timed event, calf roping. Where a three-month-old calf is let out of a gate, given about a 10-yard head start, and he's trying to run his dear life to the very end of the arena, Cowboy comes behind with a horse, throws a loop over it, brings his horse to a complete stop, and that calf is clotheslined.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's stretched out. The rider gets off, dismounts his horse, runs over to the calf, picks him back up, slams him to the ground, picks up a front leg, brings up the other two in the back, and wraps him up. The flag goes down now. Hey, he's got his time. That's a time event. Nothing cruel about what happened to that baby calf.
Well, you forgot to mention that nice Stetson hat he's wearing with the eagle feather and the or the raptor feather that some raptor he's taken from.
Usually the roughstock riders are wearing that.
But
the bull and the bareback bronc riders and saddle.
I'm again, so that, you know, callers and listeners understand, personally, I'm against any form of cruelty, any form of gambling use of, you know, that's why I gave up it all. But on the other hand, we have something here amongst us that needs to be addressed, but in the right way. Personally, I'd like to see an end to it. But on the other hand, that's me as an individual. My name is CC, not JC, so I can't serve as God. And, you know, but my own emotions. And like I say, you shared the videos with me, and I couldn't, guys, I couldn't bring myself to watching one. I had to just turn it off, and I thought, my goodness, what is going on here? But again, with the game fighting, and how prevalent is it? The law has come about now, and we see there's an quote, aggressive attempt. I heard the city prosecutor says cruelty of any kind is recently, and I was thinking he was once the prosecutor before. Where was this the stance then? I mean, we had cockfighting was open, and it was you could go out to Holly even any given day, and there'd be fights. So what gives there?
Well, under the Chuck Marsland administration, when I was more active in defense of not cockfighting, but against the gambling arrests that were being made, what Marsland's administration was attempting to do was to intervene in the cockfighting, pick up all of the chickens that he could find, and then turn them over to the Department of the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
The Humane Society would kill the chickens by suffocating them. And so our question was, if we are really concerned about cruelty to animals, what was most cruel? The prosecuting attorney's actions, or the farmers, or the people raising the chickens, who actually kept the chickens in very good condition, sometimes in air-conditioned boxes, feeding them the best food that there were, that was available. So was it really cruelty to animals that they were getting after?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it more this attempt to intervene in the gambling activity or the gambling aspect? Mm-hmm. And because of the confusion, there is really uncertainty in the society as to what is being prohibited. Is it gambling or is it cruelty to animals? If it is gambling, then why is it only against the Filipinos, the Japanese, and the Hawaiian predominantly? What about the Haole activities?
Right.
You
know? Right.
And yet we all agree that we don't want to see the cruelty to animals, but the way the tradition has been is that the animal has to be on its deathbed before a winner can be proclaimed.
Right.
Otherwise, you can put on boxing gloves, and there are boxing gloves for the chickens. And so you can determine who would be the winner and who would be the loser without killing the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not that sense of triumph in the gambling aspect of it. You got to see the death of a chicken, essentially.
You mentioned the feeding and the special pens. Let me add that a gamecock lives a much better life than those that you see in the market or those that are come from poultry farms.
Mm-hmm.
Take, for instance, the eggs that you eat every morning. You've got four hens in a 2x2 pen, not enough room for even them to squat. Lights are on 24 hours a day. These chickens have never felt grass under their feet or dirt under their feet. And they live, the layers, I'd say, would live expected lifetime where they're productive 3 years, whereas a game fowl who has a history can live up to, a game cock could live up to 10, 14 years. Mm-hmm. He's given the best food, the vitamins, he's exercised regularly, he's given everything to make his life more comfortable, where he can be more productive in a way of producing offspring. Mm-hmm. Your broilers, your fryers, these are young chickens, 3 to 4 months of age. Again, have never seen the sunlight. Mm-hmm. 24/7, they have a light bulb. They're fed growth hormones. So at 3 to 4 months of age, they're slaughtered and put on the market. Mm-hmm. Now, where's the cruelty here?
Mm-hmm. In that sense. Yeah, and I mean, understanding, each act people view it as cruel. I mean, to raise a chicken and feed him and give him the vitamins and all of that is good, is a big-hearted thing. But then when you put the knives on him, you then become, you know, it becomes a situation where's the difference? The guy who's providing it for the market for food, or the guy that's inevitably going to chance this animal's life. I think that's where most people have a problem with any of it. And like you, I fully agree with you. There is a greater influence. And as you raise the question, is it gambling that they're trying to stomp out, or is it the cruelty, act of cruelty? If it's the act of cruelty, then we should see it across the board. More direction to vegetarianism. Avoid it because of mass farming, agriculture, raising of chickens and eggs and cows. If it's cruelty, veal. I mean, the other day I had a friend tell me I had the best veal that I've ever eaten. And I had the same feeling that I had with the watching that video of the chicken fight. Mm. I mean, if you know what goes on in the process of making veal, it's... You know, for me as an individual, I don't know. Hold on. Good morning, caller. Hello. Go ahead, caller. Are you there? Are you there? Good morning, caller. Yes, go ahead and hold on. Let me put you on air. You there? Go ahead and speak.
You have the telephone turned up?
Are you there? Hello? Go ahead and talk.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you that, you know, the way that chickens that are bred for eggs or chickens that are bred for meat is being raised in a much crueler method and environment than the cockfighting chickens themselves. So again, it brings into question the fairness across the board with regards to animal cruelty. It seems that the Humane Society has not really taken a look at the industrial aspect of raising chickens or other animals on the farm. Yeah, so as to that, I agree.
Caller, are you there? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Lynn, this is Lynn. You know, this cultural bit, does that mean that we have to sit back and condone what they do? I don't understand where they're coming from with this cultural bit.
Well, they're right here. You can engage in a conversation with them if you like.
I just wanted to make that statement.
Hold on. I mean, I'd like you to go ahead and engage them. I don't call up and throw a shoe and then walk away and go, I hope it hit. And, you know, just that's the purpose of this. I wanted to have a healthy discussion because it's all been drive-by. So
let me address this idea of this cultural bit. And what I'm saying is that I recognize the cultural argument. All I'm saying is that let's be fair among all cultures. If cruelty to animals when you deal with chickens fighting is inappropriate, then let's also deal with the practice of boxing as inappropriate because it is cruelty to the human spirit.
Yes, but it's controlled.
Is it really controlled?
I think it is.
I don't think so. Not when I see it on television and people are attempting to pulverize one another, and it is cruelty to animals.
So you condone cruelty to animals?
No, I don't. I'm saying let's be fair across the board, irrespective of the culture. What about fishing and the fishing tournaments that go on? Or what about rodeo?
Yes, I think there's cruelty there also.
Yeah, and so all I'm suggesting is that let's be fair across the board. If we are going to prevent cruelty to animals when it comes to chicken fighting, then that's fair.
But what is being fair?
Well, let's prosecute everyone else who is engaged in cruelty to other animals.
But you're only talking about the cultural aspect.
Yes, and that's what you had raised. If you want to talk about the gambling aspect, we can talk about that as well.
Is that cultural?
Gambling? Well, gambling is cultural, but what I'm suggesting is...
Look, I'll listen to what you folks have to say.
Hold on. Okay. Well, this is okay. This is what goes on. This is why I reached out to you and asked. Come in and talk, because... We see things the way, I mean, I am opposed 110% against any form of chicken fighting, dog fighting, anything. But on the other hand, as I've stated, this is a society of more than one. And the way we approach it, it's people call in or they talk about it and they take one issue. The idea is to hopefully do away with all cruelty. Period. But as we do away with it, we have to not point the finger and say, you're doing it this way, but we're okay. Welcome to the wide world of sports today. And here is a guy with a $500,000 boat who gets on a plane, flies here, have it set up, and hook a fish, and everybody applauds him, and he's a hero. Or the guy that goes around the country and collects his high five or the big five. Hold on. Caller, go ahead. You have a comment or question? Hello? Go ahead, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, you're saying that it's cultural. What about the chicks in the nest that at 2-3 days of age they're killing each other? It's not cultural. It's in their blood.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, honey.
Well, I've explained that. Basically, you said it's in the blood, and I agree 100%. Now, earlier someone had said that the Humane Society, they tried to pass a law where all game fowl were to be collected and destroyed by the Humane Society. No matter how you dispose of them, I mean, they're to be suffocated. There's nothing cruel about that. But in the natural environment, a gamecock has a natural spur that is pointed, needle-pointed, and it can grow up to 3.5 inches in length. If mankind was not around to separate them, they would battle to the death. One. Two. The other thing is, If we, like I said, don't control the animals, keep them separated, they would battle to the very end. They will not give no quarter. Now, what are we to do with the game fowl? Destroy everyone that has that particular bloodline? Now, we're talking about endangered species. Are we to put the game fowl on that list of endangered species? They are a species of their own. So what do we do? Do we destroy all of them?
Oh, heavens no, no. What's more cruel, to let them beat the crap out of each other for 3 hours or let them finish it quick, you know?
Well, again, it's in the eyes of the beholder, and we have some, such as yourself, I guess you've been around game fowl.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand the nature of the animal per se.
Yes, I do.
That's one of the reasons I am here talking to Carol today. I am not trying to sway anybody's mind on how they feel about the game fowl. I just want them to understand the nature of the animal.
Oh, yeah, there's another thing, too. They said it's the males that fight. Well, what about the hens? I've seen the hens fight almost to the death.
I think the hens would fight more for protection of the chicks.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. But I've also seen them fight over food. I've seen them fight because one wants the rooster and the other wants them too. And
but among the cocks, they fight because it's a nature of they seeing another cock and they just attract to one another.
Oh, yeah, that's true too. But I've seen them all fight. And even in the nest, I've personally seen them, the chicks kill each other at 2-3 days of age.
Well, caller, thank you. There's another call. Mm-hmm. We'll appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question? Hello? Anyway, what's happening here is the idea. I'm hoping that people, I want things to come together in one meeting, the crossroads. We see it on TV, we see it on other stations of the newspaper, and it's always, and people that are opposed to it don't get to speak directly to, and how often do you get to speak to a person that is in opposition to this?
Rare, because I don't go out and flap my wings and say that I am, in fact, involved with the fighting of gamecocks. Mm-hmm. Some people, like we've had several callers, that object to it, so I'm not going to push a bitter pill down anyone's throat. Mm-hmm.
I think it as you raised, it presents a bigger problem when we go in and say, well, demon, the cockfighting is bad, and it's front page, and it's there. And then the gambling, it's there. But all the other things, you don't see the aggressive efforts on the part of the city prosecutor or the prosecutors to take on the fishing tournaments or the Bow Hunters Association and all of those people, or the smoke powder guys who shoot. Our history is based on Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have the Department of the Interior who manages wildlife refuges, and one of the sole purposes is to provide hunting opportunities for the fancy duck lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, and if I'm not mistaken, they're trying to get a wild horse roundup in Nevada because of what's happening to the environment. So what are they to do with the horses? Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody can adopt a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes a while. You need the property, and what else do you need? Feed, money?
Caller, come in a question?
Yeah, I think what underlines all of this is that racist attitude that permeates the society that determines whose practice is okay and whose practice is not. And then media's overlay to begin to elevate one point of view as opposed to the other point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying is that let's be fair across the board. When we talk about cruelty to animals, we can try to justify, or cruelty to anything, mm-hmm. we can try to justify it as it's ingrained in our historical cultural practice, so we'll let that be okay.
Right.
But for other things that is not within the majority society, we'll say that that is illegal. Mm-hmm. And that's where the resources of the prosecuting attorney's office, that's where the media is focusing in on picking on the people who are not in power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying let's be fair across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Cruelty to animals, if we say it's not appropriate, then let's put a stop to it, but put it across the board.
Caller, comment, or question? Hello?
Hey.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
True. I don't understand when you mentioned that this thing is about culture and headhunting and cannibalism was part of our culture, too. I live in Kahului, Every morning I'm woken by game chickens, a wild, in the mountainside, And these chickens, basically, every 3 weeks or so, there is a new bull, A new rooster takes over, But the thing about it is the rooster that was ruling, he has an opportunity to run away. When you're in an arena with gaffs on and people shouting, if you run away, they grab you, they throw you back in. Mm-hmm. There's no opportunity to run away.
Mm.
Or like the fighter, Nomaz, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But
Duran.
Duran, yeah, mm-hmm. Brother Duran. I don't understand where Hawaiians, I don't know if this is a Hawaiian culture too. I think people should pay more respect to the host culture instead of trying to make laws that's going to allow them to do what they're doing. And of course, where does it end? As you people have been talking about fishing tournaments, hunting tournaments, and all these kind of things.
Right.
There's such a thing as conservation. Maybe what I should do is start hunting the chickens in my backyard. I think the way the economy is going, there'll be other people hunting them down before me.
And we do know how they got there, and you can speak to this.
There's at least 50.
Mm-hmm.
They're just roaming around, basically. Yeah. And of course, you know, chickens, like Reverend Wright said, right? They come home to roost.
Right.
And you feed them. They know where they're getting fed.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Well, thank you.
Still interesting, though. Tell brother I'm giving credit to coming forward and talking about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Aloha.
Good morning, Carla. Comment a question quickly? Hello? Good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Can you hear me?
Now,
yes,
go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
I just wanted to say that Polka's point that he's trying to make about the racist aspect, I think, is true. But then I think it also goes beyond that to a clash between the wealthy and the not wealthy. Mm-hmm. Because while cockfighting is condemned, and I believe rightfully so, the industrialized agriculture that people have been speaking of, this is run by the wealthy in our society, and it's not animal cruelty to them because it produces huge amounts of income, and that's wrong. If it's animal cruelty, it's animal cruelty. And also the point that the Humane Society does not address animal cruelty, especially in that aspect, is absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I would love to see is, I've, over the years you brought up, I could claim that all of mine was culture, my behavior, and because you were taught this is how you were to go out and gather food for the table. But the reality, when I was young, I learned that there's no such thing as a going out and getting food for the table in modern times, because generally, you got to buy, if it's a deer, some guys say, well, I'm going to put a deer on the table and have it ground. Well, first of all, shouldn't be eaten, you know, but you go out and buy a rifle that's $700, $800. You buy, you're going to get a hunting license, and then you got to get the camouflage because most states require you to. Then you got to get a four-wheel drive truck, and then you got to pay now $4, $5 a gallon of gas. Then you got to pay all of that. For what's the value of the meat by then? Food on the table. So I think that if we're ever going to get to the crux of the problem, cruelty, is that we have to look straight across the board, look at the other fellow, and say, we're all wrong when it comes to that cruelty, you know. But you spoke earlier, seizure of chickens, and that they were going to kill some. Well, it is a current practice, as we brought out in the Norman Payne discussion and through the interviewing of the Humane Society of the United States employees. They would seize the chickens from a, quote, chicken fighter or a breeder and then euthanize them on scene.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of what, to keep them from meeting their death?
Their argument is that it would be too expensive to keep them alive.
I would say that one of the dangers, and currently there's this, the breeding of the dogs here, and again, I you'll hear me say I think you should be prosecuted, cruelty, and you're puppy mealing, you should be prosecuted. But I have to remind myself, just recently of last year, the Humane Society of the United States and the Humane Society of Hawaii participated in activities that lent itself to questionable behavior.
Hmm.
They were sued. They went in with fake badges. I'm still bothered by the fact that when I see Keith Kaneshiro, our city prosecutor, arm in arms with these same people, like the SS now. The SS has got an audience, and that audience now is the TV station, and then we got the city prosecutor standing there charged without... They wouldn't take on these folks and prosecute them for impersonating officers or law enforcement people. Hmm. Now they've partnered up with them. So that's... We'll never fix the issue of cruelty to animals, whether it's chicken fighting, whether it's hunting, or anything, if we lend ourselves to the guy with the loudest voice, who writes the longest article, who has the quickest number to the editorial staff, and who has learned to manipulate through posting video on websites and bringing a tear to your eyes to bring money, millions, and then come back and seize your chickens and then euthanize them. And under the pretense of saving them from death, a cruel act of death.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making $7 million or $5 million in your campaigns after you seize these animals, in this so-called campaign to do away with cruelty, you should take that $7 million. That should be a chicken plantation where they all get to go and rest. Spend that $7 million on that. Instead, lobbying and campaigning and supporting people in various states and spending that money toward that. So this is what's troubling me. I would love to tomorrow morning wake up where there won't be any more chicken fights, there won't be any more hunting, there won't be... But I got to be realistic, as you're speaking, the racist part of it, as you're saying, the cultural or the heritage, unless we deal with it properly.
Let's turn the discussion a little bit on the other side
Go
and take
it.
A look at the gambling aspect. Now, there are people, especially the organizers, who are making humongous amounts of money, not only from the games that are occurring, but they are selling food at these activities. They are selling parking. They are charging people to go from the parking spaces all the way up to where the games are at. They are charging admissions for this activity. Mm-hmm. None of this is taxable. None of this gets into the coffers of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and there's a lot of money going on. Also, the protection money. You know, the strong arms to make sure that the other groups don't come in and bust the games, or the leaking that is going on in the police department as to when the raid is coming down and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much other activity, but the focus is being placed on the cruelty to animal aspect. You know, there's also a lot of poker games going on, a lot of Paiute games going on, and all these other games.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much money being exchanged, and we are being diverted into the issue of cruelty to the poor chicks.
Well, let's just go right downstairs here. It can take you to a couple of gambling occasions right here, right now in the open, exchanging money by the thousands right here, along the walkway.
Let me add something here, Carl, to you. The gambling aspect. The average, I'd say the average cockfighter, lucky if 1 in 100 that participates in cockfighting, 1 of 100, 1 out of 100, may wager several thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest, the chickens may be turned loose on an agreed price of $6,000, but the $6,000 doesn't come from one individual's pocket. The owner himself, such as myself, my wages are meager. Basically, they hardly even return the money that had cost me to bring him up to it. To raise him, all the medication, the expensive feeds, my time, it keeps me off the street. I get off of work. I'm not in a bar. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not taking drugs. I have animals to take care of. And mm-hmm. everyone that I have met that raises Gamefall, they're church going. A lot of them from my travels, I have met doctors, lawyers, professionals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to pick up this in the second hour. There's quite a few things I want to talk about and share, let the listeners hear. What, you know, where do the chickens come from, the transportation, the interstate trafficking? What has happened with the new laws? We see the activities go underground? Or, you know, and what's the outlook? Publications, as you've talked about, don't exist anymore due to the illegalization of it and what have you. So I want to talk about that, and we'll be back. You're going to stick around, and please, don't, and callers, this is your opportunity. You know, so often we have this drive-by comment. Well, I think it's cruel, and they're cruel. I'm giving you 2 hours to come in and call in and have your comments and your say. And I'm just appreciative that you stayed and came in and talked with me. We'll get to the grit of it and poke out. We'll be back shortly.
Okay.
And I'm going to play, this is a local band. It's the title of the album is Transplanted. And Robert Enriquez, Ty Tomorrow, and Jason Nomi, Louis Abrams, and Kali Navales, and Peter Knutson. These are guys that have put this band together, and they are telling me it's hot, so I'm going to play one of the songs, and we'll be back shortly.
About the things that you do, you have to start living the life that you should. I ended in a place so far away with nothing in my garden. I started to stray. Now I'm filling up my ocean with love and devotion. I'm transplanted, searching. I'm looking for meaning. I can't stop it, this feeling I get from this music.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI.
You ought to see my baby, 'cause that gal's so fine. She loves me every morning, every night, and she's always on my mind. She got sugar-coated love. Yes, sugar-coated love. She's a real gone baby, and I don't mean maybe she's mine. I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about clothes. I don't have to worry about anything. She's my baby, and goodness knows she got sugar-coated love. Yes, yeah, sugar-coated love. holding on to this baby of mine, 'cause he's got what I can use, and that's sugar-coated love. Yes, sugar-coated love. She's a real gone baby, and a darling baby, she's mine. If you want to know what sugar-coated love is, it's the best love that they got. It's the kind of love make the old feel young and make the North Pole hot. That's sugar-coated love. Yes, sugar-coated love. She's a real gone baby, and I don't mean maybe she's mine.
Alrighty, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. We're sitting here and discussing game cock fighting and the various issues associated with it. And some of you will go away today thinking, what in the heck is he doing? Well, the point is, so often I hear subjects being tossed and discussed peripherally and not really getting into the meat and having someone that actually fights. Someone's always speaking on behalf of the fighters or the breeders or you know, the people that are in opposition of it. So I was waiting for this opportunity. I don't know how it's going to go, but at least callers or listeners, you can firsthand get the direct question rather than having the talk show host give you his opinion and what we think. And usually the way it works is there's a policeman on the right, and an animal rights person on the left, and then the talk show person, and then that's. I wanted to get you, and if you're willing to answer, and you are, so if they call in, you know, I don't want to be providing all the answers for them, but anyway, caller, go ahead, come in a question.
It's kind of like a comment. It's a question and a question. I just wanted to thank you for bringing the gentleman together, and it's a very interesting discussion, and to hear someone that's involved in cockfighting, it's bringing his point of view. And also, I think the other gentleman's name is Lynn?
Polka.
The other gentleman?
Polka Lanui.
I'm sorry?
Polka Lanui.
Polka Lanui.
Yeah.
And his perspective is interesting also. Personally, I'm against cockfighting because, to me, it's cruelty to animals. And the other gentleman was saying that while we allow humans to participate in aggressive activities like, you know, a traditional boxing, extreme boxing, hockey, football, etc., but and I think he was alluding to the fact that it might be racial. Mm-hmm. There's a racial bias.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a racial bias or any other type of disparity. You can't relate the two because humans have the ability, the intellect, to choose whether they want to pulverize each other. Animals don't. We make that choice for them. And I think one component is the money part, the gambling part. It's all motivated. Whether you talk about human aggression, you know, control human aggression, or with the cockfighting, it's all about, to me, the money. And that was my comment. And mm-hmm. I just want to know what they thought about can you actually relate the two? I mean, you know, can you say that it's okay to have cockfighting because, humans beat each other up? So, you know, I wish I could articulate it in a more intelligent way, but that's the only way I can put it to you.
Okay.
So if you can explain to me, I'd appreciate it.
All righty.
Well, yes, thank you for the question. Let's make the comparison between human activities as opposed to activities where the animals themselves have no, or what we can call independent choice, but are manipulated by the human handlers or breeders. When we talk about professional boxing, when we talk about these extreme fights, when we talk about games such as football and other things, they are not really the participants who have a free will to determine whether or not they are going to engage in the sport. They are controlled by handlers. They are controlled by other people who manipulate the money aspect and either buy one or another contender. To a certain extent, you can say, well, the contenders are exercising their free will, but they are really being manipulated by the purse. So even there, you have a question of free will or not free will. But let's not avoid the other comparisons that I have brought in, where the fish engaged in that tournament. They are not engaging in a tournament by their free will. It is the human beings who goes out and tries to capture the fish or the game and all of those things. So if we look across the board, cruelty is cruelty. And we need to see that as it is. I agree with you that it is not necessarily racially determined, but to a large extent it's cultural, racial. But they use that and manipulate it by a financial interest. If they are getting a cut from that financial outcome, then somehow the general society says, well, that's okay, because we're making a lot of money. But when they are not extricating their appropriate amount of funds, then they are saying, well, those are the criminals who are engaged in cruelty to animals and engaged in gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do is take a look at it across the board fairly rather than judging only one as opposed to the other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this brings me to a situation that occurred in my life. I was approached by a professor, a doctorate, who was doing studies on cruelty to animals, and more specifically, it was why the question was, why is it that black people care less for animals than whites? That was just straight across. So you know, it's easy to know that racism, it may not be the cause, but I've known many a young black men that have been thrown in the ring and handled and get wasted up, and we let's go to the football fields at the colleges. They take these young black men, and or just not just necessarily black, run them to death, and the coach gets paid $1 million for coaching them, and they don't get a guarantee in education. They're struggling, and if they take a shoestring from sports shop, it's a violation of the rules, you know. So, but this specific story was, why is it that black people care less for animals than whites? And they didn't like the response that I gave, because I think that everyone, if you offer a bounty on the head of an animal, like we did historically for cougars, like the Roosevelt and all of the presidents, the kebab situation in Arizona, where they wiped out all of the predators and the deer exploded in population. You know, so the professor didn't get the answers that she wanted, so I pulled out of the so-called study, because it was automatically a foregone conclusion that it was the natural thing that blacks cared less for animals than whites. So what kind of study is that, if that is already the premise?
It's already skewed. The outcome is already skewed.
So I reminded her, we have a great many of animals that are on the endangered species. We have a great many animals that should be listed on the endangered species list, but they won't be listed because they would present a problem to the guy with lots of money who wants to get his big five, his trophy. The situation was occurring with polar bear at one time. You couldn't have one and you couldn't import them, but some way you could, you see. And so all of this, I had to remind her. When we had the passenger pigeon, where were the black people's role in that, in the annihilation and the wiping out and the extermination of a species? So when we got to be careful, and I think that's what I personally, and you know, would love to see cockfighting disappear. I'd love to see anything that's inhumane or cruel gone, just wiped away. But I also must be realistic, as I've stated. So when I'm just worried about You and I have talked earlier after the when we went on break in Samoa, or the Samoan way is to drown a pig, you know, and to take him and step on him and drown him before. That's the way of slaughtering him. There are many things that so. Do we show up and say, you got to stop that, that's because that's cruel? Okay, now that let's meet on this, and, okay, we'll meet. We'll have a big meeting, and we're going to serve dinner. Well, what's for dinner? Oh, it's going to be chicken and steak, and right? So it's okay for you, but I think to address cruelty, we all need to incorporate that there is a taint of racism. There's a taint of – and some people go, that's my culture. Well, it's not your culture because – if that was the case, you'd still be stripping bark and making threads out of, you know, if you're going to go and claim the cruel, the cultural thing. But we got to be sensitive at how we approach it. So anyway.
Nothing further. I think your guest had some interesting information, though, with regards to the actual management of a fight, a chicken fight, and given an image of what really occurs in the arena.
Yeah, what? How do you get to the arena? How is a fight announced? Let's say the here in Hawaii. How does one learn of a big fight in the town?
Well, right now, Carol, because of the strict laws and the fines that have been coming with them. A good example, I showed you a magazine that was about 4 years old compared to one that was just published last month. Same publication. The book is only about one-fourth of the original, the one that's much older, because a lot of game fowl breeders back in the continental U.S. there were, in fact, advertising, have given up because... The magazines depends on the ads. A lot of the game fowl breeders have given up on it because of the laws that have been passed. You had asked me earlier, how do game fowl, you know, get to the islands or what have you? But there's a lot of breeders here. A lot of people that breed their own locally. There's a lot of people that market their fowl locally and ship them abroad as well, to Philippines and to Guam, where I believe that's the last two places in the world that have international tournaments per se, and they fight for big money there.
And that's the Philippines and where?
The Philippines and Guam.
Okay.
Guam has the international, and the Philippines has the what they call the World Slasher Cup.
And that's legal, even though Guam is a territorial...
It is. It is legal there. Okay? There are... I've been to Guam. There's two major pits there. The King's Court is one of them. I'm not sure there's a... I can't remember the name of the other. And the Philippines, they're just strewn throughout the Philippines. You've got them in Visayan Islands. There's several pits in the Visayan Islands. Araneta Coliseum in Manila. And they host the most prestigious cockfights in the world today.
And you have people flying in on jets from other countries and other states?
They're coming in. A lot of them are coming in from the continental U.S. A lot of them have in the past traveled from the islands out here. And they travel from all over the world to compete there. And it's like a four to five day event.
So those are openly announced. But now here in the state of Hawaii, what happens? How does one find out about a fight?
It's through the grapevine, and it's usually from those that actually participate in the sport because, like I said, the hefty fines.
Used to be, what, $25?
When Hawaii was, well, when it was a territory, it was $25, the fine for having the weapon. Then the cruelty law came into play, and it became 50-50. I think it was $50 for cruelty and $50 for having the weapon. And right now, I believe it's $1,000.
And so with that increase of penalty, are they seeing a decrease in participation?
There is a tremendous decrease in participation, and a lot of the fights have basically, those that host the fights, or if the games do, in fact, come about, they're by invitation only, and they all go underground.
And but
Right. Another way of finding out where the fights are mm-hmm. is when you see a crowd just gathering and it's not at a party, because parties are usually announced as a party.
Right. There's be balloons at Keone's yeah. house here to the right, but if there's 100 cars and...
And sometimes even more than that. Another way is to see where the arrest had occurred, because mm-hmm. that doesn't stop the games from going on the next mm-hmm. week or the next weekend or things like that. Mm-hmm. So usually if it's at one particular location where arrest has occurred, and you can sometimes find it in your police reports or in the news, mm-hmm. then that's generally the area that they continue to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a misunderstanding, and previously it was if you were in the presence of a cockfight,
mm-hmm.
then you could be arrested.
Right.
But subsequent to that, the law has changed, or not changed, but has been updated to recognize a constitutional right of the freedom of association.
Mm-hmm.
So you can associate with a group who are engaged in illegal activities, but you are not necessarily engaged in that illegal activity.
As long as you're not seen betting.
As long as you're not caught betting.
And participating.
Or participating, either handling the chicken or acting as a referee or whatever
weapon.
It is. Or tying the...
Fixing the weapon through the animal's leg.
So, yeah. Speaking of this weapon, the weapons are basically a knife. Razor sharp.
Razor sharp. They're made of high-grade steel. A lot of them that's on the market today is made out of cobalt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the reason for it, that it's a much the physical strength of the metal itself,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it holds a sharper edge longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the weapons, depending on where you go in the world, Puerto Rico uses postizas. These are metal spurs that are attached to his natural spurs that have been blunted or cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico uses a 1-inch slasher, and the Philippine or Malayan slashers can go anywhere from 2.5 inches up to 5 inches in length.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, like in the Malaysia, in the Far East, such as Thailand, Vietnam, they fight what they call naked heel.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, their spurs are cut off with a saw blade, and it cannot exceed the length of 3/4 inch. The foul are fought 5 20-minute rounds with a 5-minute rest in between. That's to give you an example of the stamina mm-hmm. that the Oriental foul have. A lot of them have been bred into the American lines because of the power that they hit with and the fact that they have the stamina to fight hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to the cultural practice. In my travels, I have met people, like I said, from all walks of life. I mean, I have met professionals, you know, blue-collar workers, white-collar workers, and I have met them from all different ethnic backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Orientals, blacks, Puerto Ricans, those of Hispanic heritage, whites. I mean, you know, they say it's cultural, but let's go back to the past. At one time in the past, every major continent in this world hosted chicken fights. Okay? Ancient Phoenicians, the Greeks, the Romans, the British, the French, you know, the cockfighting on the southern American hemisphere was all brought upon by the Spanish influence, which we can tie in directly to the Philippines. Mexico, Puerto Rico, Cuba, a lot of South American countries, as well as the Philippines, mm-hmm. all have that same tie to the Spanish.
Before going to the caller, if I may also point out that in Hawaii, you had a strong chicken fight tradition among the native Hawaiians, Ho'okamoa.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the helmet of the Hawaiian ali'i, it's an emblem of the spirit, essentially, of the gamecock. And so even within Hawaiian tradition, you will find the hakamoa, the chicken fighters, or the chicken fighting as part of that tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carla, comment or question? Hello.
Oh, hello.
Yes, go ahead. Comment a question.
Well, the cultural thing, you know, you notice this. Do they fight cocks in Europe? That's probably the only place in the world, like you're saying. I don't know for sure that doesn't have a cockfight going on. In Japan, do they fight cocks there? That's just a question, but
at one time I had a
cockfight at my place, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was a couple hundred people. You know, it was a two-day event.
And where you live?
I don't want to say where I live.
Oh.
This is a number of years ago. All right. But I learned a number of things. You know, because afterwards you were mentioned about the power of the birds. I mean, people don't realize you let one of them chickens hit you. You know, not with the spurs on, but just with the strength of the hit. It hurt for a month. You know, it hit me on my forearm. Mm-hmm. I was going there to feed them. Now that I was keeping some cocks with some of my friends. But, you know, people don't realize how strong the birds are. Like I said, 5-hour matches? That's the first time I've heard of that one. Where is that in? What country?
This is in Malaysia. It's called
Malaysia.
Yeah. Thailand, Vietnam. They basically fight naked heel.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Because then I relate to that with that chicken hitting me. I'm going, how can they take all them blows, man?
Well, they fight for 5 20-minute rounds with
yeah,
five.
Oh, 20-minute rounds, okay.
20-minute rounds.
Oh, that's 100. That's almost 2 hours.
But just that's why they've imported a lot of the fall from that part of the world to bring into the
American. For that bloodline, for the stamina.
Exactly. And you're from Hawaii. You realize that we only fight 5 minutes.
Yeah, they already go to it's dead. You had 5 minutes, right?
Right, but back in the Continental U.S., when the derbies were being run at Copper State, Sunset, in Louisiana, Texoma, Mid-America, there were no time limits. You had foul fighting for hours at a time.
Hmm.
The longest fight I've ever witnessed was for about nearly 2 hours, going into what they refer to as a drag. And I'm sure you remember.
I think they had like 45 entries, and them chickens went fast, you know what I mean? They were dead men with dead chickens everywhere. So, these guys didn't even put them in a bag.
Let me ask you a question.
Flung them into the bushes. But the other thing I'd like to mention is there is so much money involved in this thing. When I seen all the cash that was involved in this, I went, man, these guys are serious bettors, you know what I mean? Because the thing is, you know, these guys, I don't know what they call the guys that went around in the ring with all the money in their hand taking bets. What do they call them? Hackers or what are they?
Those are the bet callers. They're in the middle of the ring. They're laying out wagers for other spectators that
bet. That's what it is, yeah. But
that's
what I saw the money. Young kids about 25, you know, kind of husky built. But, I mean, the hand was all $100 bills and as big as you could make the hand for. You know what I mean? It's just like, man, these guys are betting some serious money. You know, so, you know, I don't know if it breeds violence. You know, it's a violent sport. It's a bloodthirsty thing. You know what I mean? It's the death of something. You know what I mean? In the end, usually the chickens, even if they survive, they die later on, huh? Because you know, they've been beat up so bad, or they've been cut, but they're still standing, right?
Right.
But I just think to comment on that, there's a lot of money involved in it. Hey, if it's a people sport, even though it's bloodthirsty, that's their choice, yeah?
Yeah, so what, if you would, that fight that took place at your place, what kind of money was handed out there?
Yeah, it was triple-digit jackpot.
100,000, 50,000,
60,000. Yeah, more than that, man, I heard. Way more than that.
I see.
Yeah, it was, I couldn't believe the money. I just blew my mind. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, wait a minute, these guys, and they had to, like, there was, like, three no losses, so they had to split the pot three ways.
All right. Well, that okay. Well, thank you. We're going to... I got a couple other comments.
Okay,
on this.
But that's just a lot of money, bloodthirsty, but hey, it's cultural. Let them do it.
Okay.
Bye.
All righty. Now, you know, the idea behind asking you to come on is I want people to see and hear and understand that a lot of... I think... we have seen in the so-called rings around here, I drive over Kipapa Gulch. Every occasion you look there are maybe 60, 70 cars. And I ask myself, how can this take place? There is not a church there. They're not giving away food. It's not a food bank there. And it only occurs at night, and you got guys standing around watching the road.
Okay, well, there's a lot of game farms down in that area as well.
Yeah, but they're farming at nighttime.
I don't know what's going on. I don't travel there at night like I said.
They all come over the feet. There's chickens at the same time.
No, but like I
what
said,
a coincidence.
Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the fights today have gone on the ground because of a lot of the strict laws and the fines that have been imposed against the violators right now.
What about property, measures of trying to, from a law enforcement or legal standpoint, does it fall under the RICO statute? Let's say if you were the owner of property, and how does it apply here in Hawaii? If you're the owner of a property and you are hosting it, and it's on your property, does it lend itself to racketeering and then they can seize your property?
I think there has been an attempt to do so. And that, again, first of all, let me explain that my experience was way back maybe 25, 30 years ago. And that was during the Marsland administration, in which Chuck was attempting to put an absolute stop to chicken fighting. And what he tried to do was confiscate real property as a result of the games on the property. Mm-hmm. What we did was we fought it up into the circuit court and then went up to the Hawaii Supreme Court, in which Marslin was defeated and told that you cannot use the, what is that,
RICO?
The chicken fighting statute to confiscate real property. Mm. So in essence, he got turned back in that instance. And I was active at that time. Since that time, I have basically stayed out of the representation in the chicken fighting, so I couldn't comment as to what is happening today. But my understanding is that they are not able to take real property because of the activities that have occurred in the real property. Now, there may be new laws that have come up, new interpretation of RICO, but I don't think that is the case at the present time.
Has it become is it illegal to ship game birds, or is it the statement has to be that if you can't ship them for use in fighting, you still ship them?
You can still ship them a lot. Well, like the state of Hawaii has required that you get proper health permits because, you know, a lot of the diseases that have been and that's been associated with the avian flu, for one.
Mm-hmm.
So the Agriculture Department has put out a requirement that the bird be tested for different types of diseases, and it has to be certified by a veterinarian that the bird has been tested for certain diseases. In the past, you could ship birds from the continental U.S. Directly here to the state by mail, by express mail. That has since stopped since the federal government has been involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now they're coming in by cargo. You have to go air cargo, and the airfare is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
An average game fowl right now, and you looked at the magazine, an average game cock right now costs $250. That's average. Now,
that's just the purchase price.
That's not the shipping yet. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the average. Now, game fowl can be put into several categories. You can have average, good, exceptional, and great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why in most every ad that's in the Gamecock Journal says $250 on up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Game fowl breeders back in the continental U.S. no longer can ship directly to you as a purchaser or a buyer. It has to go through an agent, and I believe there's only maybe a handful of agents that can ship the fowl from the continental U.S. here. Now, you as a breeder, if you were to ship your game fowl, let's say to Honolulu or what have you, the birds leaving your property has to have with them an accompanying permit saying that they are being shipped abroad.
Mm-hmm.
The owner himself that's shipping you the game fowl makes you sign a statement, a waiver, saying that he is shipping you the fowl, that you, the purchaser, will not use the fowl for any illegal purposes.
Mm-hmm. Now, but that's where it stopped, so there's... How do you...
There's no way he could... He's got your signature on a piece of paper, but yet he's shipping the bird, he's bringing in the bird. What he does with it, you know...
But
yeah, I don't think they are shipping it as game fowl, because game fowl means
they're shipping them. They're shipping them out as show fowl today,
and they are beautiful birds.
Right.
And they have at times been used as show fowl.
Yes, annually there are gamecock shows over here, and we have game shows, and they have best of breed on the different categories. Mm-hmm. We have black categories, grays would go as grays, whites, and other colors would go in a different show. Best light-legged reds, best dark-legged reds. Mm-hmm. They would have grand champion of the show, best hen of the show.
So just as you would have dogs or orchids.
Exactly.
Yeah. But there's one thing that goes off little lights is, but ask this question. Yes, it may be a show and how pretty they are and how beautiful they are, but ultimately they are going to seek to breed them to come up with a better fighter.
Not if you ask the person doing the shipping.
But I'm saying, I mean, you understand, and right. Legally, why would anyone write a law? This is a nonsense. While you and I have to sit here and haggle it out, and when the legal minds should know that if I sell you a chicken and you sign a paper promising me that that you will not use it in fighting, that's a civil matter. You breached the agreement between you and me. We didn't breach a law. You understand that it would be prosecutable, I don't think. I would have to go to court and file and say...
Well, all the seller is saying is that I am not a participant.
I'm not liable. Yeah. Who's breaking the law here, me or you?
But this is how, you know, if we want to...
It's a shibai, as
yeah,
we would
if we, and to create a law like that brings in the question, does the government really want to...
I don't think it's a law that the seller needs to have an exculpatory...
It's a CYA move, so no repercussion comes his way.
Okay. but again, this is the... I'm glad you're sharing this. It just gives the types of underhanded behavior and the slickery, the trickery that goes on when trying to address this, if we're ever going to get a handle on any of it. But... the knives, what does a knife cost now in general? What a range of prices?
Depending on the quality of steel.
And you say cobalt,
like
steel.
Cobalt is one of the most expensive. Mm-hmm. And depending on who the knife maker is, per se, a majority of the knives, you have a few knife makers in the Hawaiian Island chain right now. Mm-hmm. It's a dying art. A lot of them today are being made in the Philippines. And believe it or not, a lot of them are being mass-produced, and you're getting though they advertise it as cobalt or what have you, you're getting inferior metal because the blades run anywhere from, depending on who you're buying it from, $40 up to $150.
Per blade.
Not a pair. The style of fighting that... we've adopted here in the Hawaiian Islands is a Filipino or Malaysian slasher, which is the knife or the weapon is fixed on his left leg.
Mm-hmm. Only one knife.
Only one knife. Mm-hmm. Back in the continental U.S. And the Mexican styles, they use the short knives. They use two. And the United States, the fighters back on the mainland, use what they call gaffs. These are like ice picks. Mm-hmm. And they're tapered from the socket, which is close, fixed to the gamecock's leg, to a very fine needle point at the very end. And they can range up to 4 inches in length. And they use two. Mm-hmm. They have double weapons on the gamefowl.
Now, affixing these knives to the leg of the chicken or the fowl. Who actually do that? Does the owner of the fight, or does it? What dictates that?
If he knows how to set the weapon, because a fraction of an inch off in any direction, up, down, in, or out, the fowl would not cut butter. Mm-hmm. It's an art, it's a profession, and it takes years to master this. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't lock or lace what we refer to in gamecocks, if you don't lock that weapon on properly while attaching the lace, it can turn upon first contact. Mm-hmm. And you'd be at a disadvantage because your knife or your gaff would be out of position, and your gamecock would be just run over and just cut to ribbons.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you take you've tied the knife, walk me through this. There is someone in the pit that holds the animal.
Not necessarily in the pit. They usually go into an area where they're not seen, because the person tying the knife does not want to tie his weapon out in the open work, because he could be arrested for having a possession of the knife.
That part, but I mean the actual fighting. I've attempted to watch that video that you gave me.
Okay.
And they seem to aggravate us to do something to get them excited. What happens there?
They're doing is they're trying to get their bird to be alert.
Okay.
Okay. And realize now, like I said earlier, we don't train gamefowl to fight.
Mm-hmm.
We condition them. Mm-hmm. The first aspect or the first step in conditioning as a fowl is on the mental side. You want him to know that he is your friend. You want to gentle him down to be that he'd be assured that you will not in any way hurt him. Mm-hmm. That's the first part. If you get one that does not, what we refer to as high-strung, will fight back at you, you don't want him. He's got a mental block.
Mm-hmm.
Because you put a 3 to 4 inch weapon on him and you put him on the ring, on the floor, you don't want him turning on you at all. Because he could kill you.
And it occasionally happened.
It has happened. In my lifetime, I have witnessed 3 deaths in the ring because of a gamefowl turning on a handler or the referee.
You mean the guys don't try to stop the bleeding? They just throw the money?
When you're hit in very vital areas like your femoral artery is between your thigh. I mean, the bird is coming at you at blinding speed, and he's throwing his legs at blinding speed. If you were to stick your arms out there, he'd probably sever an artery on your arm.
Mm-hmm. So 3 occasions you've witnessed.
I have witnessed 3 occasions. One, it was an international tournament on Guam, and 2 in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. And is it the referee or the actual handler?
The referee, two of the individuals were handlers of the fowl, one in Guam, one in the Philippines, and the other was a referee in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm trying to do other interviews on this. Some said that the fight can be dictated somewhat, the outcome can be, by the person releasing that's holding it and how they release it. Is that true?
It's very true. That's why you don't want anybody just handling your bird, just anybody off the street or what have you, because when you're conditioning the bird, you get the mental side, now you get the physical side. Whoever's handling the bird during the sparring session to get him sharp for the fight, mm-hmm. you want him and the gamecock to feel comfortable with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because time for battle, you want all of his focus, all of his attention on the gamecock that's in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
You, the handler, or the guy that's screaming to lay a wager on the side of the ring, is not his enemy. He's not going to hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want him distracted from that. That's where, the mental side come in.
Mm-hmm.
You want him gentle down that he's not afraid of any human around him.
Mm-hmm.
That
what determines a winner? There's various things I had described. That the last one standing, the last one pecked. Can you give me the various outcomes or describe them?
To determine a winner, it's not just the last bird standing. They both could be down. But you are in some places, you're giving a 10-second count.
Mm-hmm.
Your gamecock has to peck to show that he still continues. He wants to continue the fight, and he's still game enough to continue to be declared a winner. Mm-hmm. In some places, they have different rules. You have 3 attempts to take what they call a claim,
mm-hmm.
which is a peck, to get the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Or a 10-second count. Okay? In either case, your fowl has to peck in order to claim the victory. If he doesn't, and your opponent doesn't, they're brought up in the air, and the referee will call handle. They're brought up, and they're giving, like I said, a 10-second count or a 3 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
If no claim for victory is made, the fight is a draw. But both birds are given an ample opportunity. Now, if one bird is killed outright and an offset, you know, I mean, and a flurry on the ground.
Right, the first release.
First release. The referee will bring both birds, will ask the handlers to bring the birds to the center of the ring, and it would be put on what we refer to as a short line, which is about a square box. It's about 18 inches square, mm-hmm. and the birds will be faced head to head. There will be no attempts to bring them up on a 10 or a 3 count. Mm-hmm. Your bird, on a count of 3, will be placed on the ground, and he has to cross that line and either peck or kick his opponent to claim the victory. Mm-hmm. He's given 2 attempts to do that. If he doesn't, it's a draw.
Mm-hmm. Is there a likelihood that one would survive, get cut, survive? Is there any medical care? Is there what happens to those that are not killed there but cut?
Most game fall, those guys that fight the bird, take the birds home and tend to the wounds mm-hmm. attentively. I mean, they'll stitch them. They have sutures. They have, you name it. It's like you're walking into an emergency room, the kits that they have at home. Mm-hmm. They have penicillin. They have all types of antibiotics to keep that bird. They do everything possible to keep that bird. If there is even a 50-50 chance that he'll survive, they will spend the time to nurture him back to health. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily to fight again, but they could use him to sire more.
To breed.
A breed. It's like in horse racing. You only breed the best thoroughbreds there are.
Oh, you mean that really popular where you drink the green mint tea, the julep, mint juleps? But that's not inhumane.
No.
The horse, right? The horse racing?
I'm not familiar with horse
the Kentucky
racing.
Derby?
Well,
no, I'm just being...
Look at it this way, Carol. Not all game fowl will make the cut to be fighters.
Right, right.
It'll cost you and take you just as much time and money with your feed bill to feed something that's junk as their... That and you know versus one that's good, mm-hmm. so why raise junk? Mm-hmm. Spend your time and your money on something that you know may give you results. Same thing as racehorses. Not everybody makes the track. They're sent across the border either to Canada or Mexico. They're slaughtered and their meats are shipped to Korea or to Europe as a delicacy.
To France.
One cautionary statement though. If your gamecock loses, mm-hmm. or if a gamecock loses, don't try to eat that chicken.
Don't. Yeah.
Because it's filled with so much poison in it mm-hmm. that you will suffer the consequences.
The antibiotics and yeah. all of those.
Antibiotics, hormones.
No, mm-hmm. 30 years
type of conditioning aids. Like
now,
the
listeners are sitting there going, wait, you were just telling us that the agriculture business pump them with hormones.
No. These are strength hormones.
Okay.
For conditioning.
But not for eating.
Not for eating.
Okay.
These fowl aren't.
But again, I'm not advocating for the listener, but just saying, hey, you know, this is where people have trouble wrapping their minds around and embracing and say, okay, if it's culture.
Well, I'm not, a lot of the things have come out. It's like today, you see that there's a cure for this, it'll help put this particular illness that you have into remission, mm-hmm. but it's going to cause you 30 more different problems.
But if it lasts
liver ailment, kidney ailment, yeah. could cause heart attacks, dizziness, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, my God. Just to cure one problem that you have, they give you 10, 15 more.
Yeah,
let me say this. If you mm-hmm. have a chicken as a pet and the chicken is in any way injured, your choice is to go to a veterinarian mm-hmm. or go to a gamecock raiser mm-hmm. to heal the chicken. I would take them to a gamecock raiser.
Because we've been through it all.
Let me ask you this. Drugs. I'm told that there are certain people use a certain drug to inject to make that chicken fight. Is that true?
It is true, but again, it's the market. If you believe in, and you have hope and dope, that is something that you believe in. Mm-hmm. But I have got, written records of fights dating back to the 1920s, 30s, mm-hmm. and 40s. Mm-hmm. They didn't have this stuff around then. Mm-hmm. But these game fowl that they had fought for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. These were... Having the best game cocks available starts with what you you breed, what you begin with. There's no hope in the bottle.
And what type of drugs are they using, this dope that you call it, to stimulate them?
They have Equipose. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one particular. What it does is it gets the bird more, the game fowl, more alert, mm-hmm. more aggressive. It's a stimulant, per se. Mm-hmm. And they have another one that it's a hormone strychnine keep. Mm-hmm. It's got strychnine in it. Okay, that helps to draw the moisture out of the bird to get his body in the proper fighting condition.
Mm-hmm.
Having all the elements in his body all balanced. But, like I said, this wasn't around in the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Mm.
It's something somebody experimented with. He made success, but I don't, you know, he got success from it. But I don't believe it came from the bottle. It started with the game fowl that he started with. But he had success with it, and you have believers in that, mm-hmm. in that particular miracle cure or miracle drug.
Now, I was told here recently that because of the new laws and of the import and the shipping, that some are now smuggling them in and by injecting saline solution under the skin so that they won't become dehydrated in the smuggling process. Does that happen?
No, it doesn't happen. A gamecock breeder who is shipping birds to you will not precondition or condition your fowl unless he is bringing the fowl, you know, overseas for his personal use.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not gonna like I referred to dope up the bird
mm-hmm.
during shipment. That'll be the last 2 days prior to actual combat.
Mm-hmm.
But during the actual physical conditioning of the bird, he will be giving the birds some additives.
Mm-hmm.
Some drug additives.
Speaking of cockfighting, what is the season here in Hawaii, and what dictates the season?
The molting season. Birds start dropping their feathers about late June, early July. Mm-hmm. They go into a molt, and some of them are late molters, some of them are early. So, mm-hmm. like now, I'm sure a lot of birds are, because of the heat, the game fowl are starting to drop their feathers, and you'll see a lot of the doves are starting, the birds that's in the wild right now, mm-hmm. dropping their feathers. And they usually get their feathers, full plumage would be around December. Mm-hmm. They will have it back in about November time frame for the early mm-hmm. ones that molted. But for fighting reasons, what we refer to as blood feathers or green feathers, because mm-hmm. they still have, realize it's all protein that goes into the chicken's feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So people that are really into caring for their birds will not fight their birds until maybe February or March time frame. Mm-hmm. But you have others that, like that gentleman that was on the air earlier saying blood sport. There are people that's into cockfighting just for the blood sport.
Really?
Realize in the cockfighting world, there's three types of people that to participate in it. There's a gambler. He's never owned a feather in his life. He's never had a kernel of corn that he had to drop to any one of the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then you have the cockfighter. All he does is he buys game fowl from other people and fights them season long. Come season, he doesn't have to worry about taking care of baby chicks, cleaning pens, delicing, vitamins, feeding, nothing. He's a seasonal individual.
Mm-hmm.
That is strictly a cockfighter. Then there's people, which I like to categorize myself as a sportsman.
Mm-hmm.
I have raised them from shell to pit.
Mm-hmm.
Pit meaning 2 years of age. A cock is a male of the species that is a minimum 2 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called cockfighting.
Mm-hmm.
Anything younger than that, you're sending a boy to do a man's job. Now, people don't realize that what we go through in getting that cock up to 2 years of age, 7 days a week, 365 days a year from the day he hatched. Caring for his parents when they were in the brood pens to get those eggs.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot.
There's a lot involved. Mm-hmm. There's a lot involved. Mm-hmm. Then we've got our mascot, the mongoose. They can wipe out an entire pen of 50 baby chicks in a day.
Mm-hmm.
if you're not, you know, they're not properly cared for. And you've got chicken pox, and you've got range paralysis, use all different type of poultry diseases that we have to deal with, mm-hmm. which we vaccinate our fowl against. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of effort that we put into it, not for the money aspect. Like I said, there are a lot of big farms breeding game fowl locally,
mm-hmm.
okay? Big Island, you have some farms that have maybe 1,000 to 15, maybe 2,000 game fowl on their farms. But if you were to go around and you saw the average around here, lucky if they had 30 or 40 of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's still so much to talk about, and the callers, I don't know if it was helpful and how daring, but I believe in taking the bull by the horn, not to harass him, but to try and get out so that we can be informed and make our own decisions. And obviously, now you're no longer fighting, but what do you think about the business? You think it's going to be eventually killed out or forced out through the legal efforts? We're about coming down in a closing minute. But
yeah, it's dwindling, and it's getting to a point where I believe that someday it will end.
Mm-hmm. You will still have the underground, you think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, they will still be. It's like gambling. I mean, those that gamble here in the state, you have a lot of them that fly to Vegas, but how many online gamblers do you have? How many of your 6-5 houses, like basketball games,
right.
football games, that are going on locally?
Mm-hmm.
Gambling will continue.
Well, I'm going to have you back. I don't know if the others felt that it was palatable or it was meaningful, this discussion, but again, I like to do things different and seize an opportunity when I see it. So thank you for joining me. Go ahead real quick.
One parting comment. You know, if I'm not here to offend any of the listeners, you know, and basically I came out here as an educational thing, and I'm sure, you know, I'm not on the air to change your mind or try to persuade you on how you feel. And if I did offend any of you, my apologies, my sincere apologies.
Well, we'll have you back and bring on some more insight. Thank you, Poca.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you,
all right,
Carol.
Aloha. And again, I want to thank all of you for listening. I know it's sensitive, and some of you probably are going, what the heck did he do today? Well, I don't know what I did, but I can tell you the intent is to bring light to a subject, and I don't like to be discussing. I don't like to discuss anything in the closet and behind the scenes. Get it out there because it all affects us all. So thank you, and I'll see you next week. Take care.
You've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just won't wait. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. They will ride in style, moving all along. A V8 motor, baby, smart in design, black convertible top, and the girls don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.